The word of the Lord from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus, answering, said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then, turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this one should be easy. Our big word about forgiveness for this evening is none other than the word forgiveness. When Jesus forgives us, he takes our sins away. Gone. Done. Done and gone. However, like redeem and ransom from a couple weeks ago, forgiveness is a word borrowed from the world of financial transactions. There, to forgive someone is to declare that a debt is no longer held against them. It's paid. Now, last week, as we talked about justification, I asked you to imagine a horrific scene at the Last Judgment, where all of your sins are read out one by one while all of the evidence is gradually piled around you, and all of the witnesses against you are queuing up to testify. This week, imagine a similar scene. You stand before the Lord on the last day, and all you have to do is be out of debt. You don't have to show that you've lived a life profitable in virtue, but you just have to demonstrate that you don't owe the Lord anything in obedience. Breaking even is good enough. This time around, the angel is an accountant who starts reciting each sin that you've committed as a debt because you owed the Lord obedience and you failed to pay up. You hope for a moment that your good works pay for the bad, but that doesn't work. Doing good works was just what you were supposed to be doing all along. Each time you did something good, it's not like you were paying off a sin, you were only breaking even. Besides, it's not about works, it's about holiness. And since sin clings to everything you do, You only watch your debt grow with each transgression, along with the dread that you could never pay that price. Although we follow Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer and pray, "Forgive us our trespasses," you're starting to appreciate that Matthew's version says, "Forgive us our debts." You owe the Lord perfect obedience, and every sin fails to pay. Now you've got a debt that you can't cover. You know the good news of this example, though. The Lord forgives the debt. He covers the cost. He doesn't hold it against you, so heaven is yours. That's the meaning behind forgiveness. However, here's something that's very easy to forget in 21st century America. When a debt or a loan gets forgiven, it doesn't mean that it just vanishes. It means that somebody else pays the debt. In the case of the forgiveness of sins, it's not that the Lord says, "I tell you what, I'm just going to say that you don't owe me anything and we'll pretend you never sinned." That would contradict God's justice, and God is perfectly just. So that he might forgive you, Jesus became flesh to pay the debt. The wages of sin is death, so he paid for it with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. Jesus suffered the hell of God's wrath for your sin, paid in full. And it is only because he has done this that you're allowed to hear him say through a pastor in the absolution, "I forgive you all your sin." The absolution isn't, "No biggie," or "Don't worry about it," or any of those other things even we Christians say to avoid saying, "I forgive you." The absolution is the Holy Son of God saying, "I paid the price, so you wouldn't have to." Our gospel reading this evening is a helpful one for meditation. Jesus is eating at the household of Simon the Pharisee when a woman of the city who is known to be a sinner, probably a prostitute or an adulteress, she finds her way and sets herself at Jesus' feet. While Simon has ignored the common courtesy of seeing that his guest's feet are washed, the woman wets Jesus' feet with her own tears. Then she dries them with her hair. That's not all, though. She kisses his feet and anoints them with costly ointment from an alabaster flask. Simon, the Pharisee, is scandalized that Jesus would let such a sinner touch even his feet. And you and I will spot his hypocrisy a mile away. However, don't miss that short parable that Jesus tells to Simon. He says, "A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon answers correctly, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And Jesus says to him, "You have judged rightly." Then he proceeds to point out that the woman obviously loves him more because of her tender care for his feet, where Simon obviously loves him less because he didn't even offer the customary washbowl. The woman won't stop kissing his feet, while Simon didn't even greet Jesus with the usual kiss. Jesus concludes by saying, "Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus says to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." You can fill in some blanks from there. It's not that Simon is less sinful than the woman, but only that he thinks he is. He loves Jesus less and shows less thankfulness because he thinks that he's covered his own debt pretty well. The woman loves Jesus more because she's much more aware of her sinfulness, the enormity of her debt, and so she cannot cease her worship in gratitude. You also know this. When Jesus says your sins are forgiven, essentially your debt is paid, that's not the same as him saying, no biggie, don't worry about it. He doesn't forgive her because she washes his feet with tears and ointment, because that's not going to cover the debt. And he certainly doesn't forgive her because he feels bad that she feels bad. He forgives her because he's going to pay her debt with his own blood when he's crucified for her sins. Remember how we said last week that Jesus accepts all those accusations silently because even though they're not true of him, they're true of you? If during his passion, Jesus is falsely accused of prostitution and adultery, he'll accept the accusation on this woman's behalf because he is bearing her sin, her guilt, her shame. He's assuming her debt. That's why he can say to her, I forgive you. Treasure forgiveness for the priceless treasure that it is. It is given because Jesus assumed all your debt for all of your sin and paid for it with his blood. I forgive you is not the equivalent of forget about it. It's instead, because I've died in your place, my Father no longer remembers your sin. Nevertheless, it is so easy to follow the path of Simon and assume that you're a pretty good person whose sins aren't that big a deal. That endangers you come judgment day because you have little love for Jesus, which means you have little faith that heaven is yours because he is your Savior. When you are in Simon's company, the Lord may permit you to fall into some sort of sin, the kind where you find yourself aghast and saying, I can't believe I'd ever do such a thing, and I don't know how I could ever forgive myself. He can make use of this mercifully, in that he can use it to show you the enormity of your debt, so that you learn the true value of the enormity of Christ's sacrifice. There is a third option. By your ongoing study of the Word, take on faith that your debt of sin is great, but that Christ has paid it in full. The more you meditate upon God's law, the more you will realize your sin. And the more you meditate upon his gospel, the more you will come to love Christ. For who is this who even forgives sins? He is Jesus, the Son of God who became man to pay the price for your sin. The Son of God who became flesh so that he might have blood to shed for you. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Hold fast to him, and in him rejoice. For in Christ your faith has saved you. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.